It's good to see everyone this morning, and we appreciate your presence. I am thankful to Matthew for recently taking us through a study of the Gospel of Mark, and I thought he did a great job with that, and it's good for us to go through that Gospel and learn more about Jesus. When you come to the end of the Gospel of the book of Mark, Jesus gives a commission to his disciples, "Go into all the world and preach the Gospel to the whole creation. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that disbelieveth shall be condemned." Hold your hand right there and turn to the beginning of the book of Mark. Mark begins and ends with a reference to the gospel. In Mark chapter 1 and verse 1, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And from here, the word gospel means good news. From here, from this verse onward, we have the good news about Jesus Christ, his life and his teaching, his death, burial, and resurrection upon the cross, his ascension into heaven, how that Jesus can save us. That's the good news. That's what gospel means. But notice that Mark opens and closes with the word gospel, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And then at the very end of the book, Jesus says, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel." Preach what? This book. This book. And preach this message, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." Now, turn back to the end of the book of Mark. In the first century, when this book was finished by Mark, it would have been a gospel, a book, and different people would have read it. There would have been Christians who have read it. That would have strengthened their faith. There would have been unbelievers who would have read it, and they would have learned about Jesus Christ. But they would have read this book as a whole. It opens up with, "This is the gospel." And then when they get to the last page, "He that believeth this gospel and is baptized shall be saved." They're reading the whole message, and then they're told at the end, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." They have just read a book, and in the first century they would have read all of it. We come together and we break it up in our Bible classes, and we'll study a few verses, and then the next week we'll study a few verses. They would have just read the book, and at the end of the book, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." Now, if you were to read all of the book at one time, not stopping, just read the whole book, when you get to the end and you're told, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved," you would have read what it would have taken to believe. You would have learned what it would have taken to be a believer. Because you would be reading about individuals who believed in Jesus. And when you get to the end of the book, you learn, well, now I know what it means to believe. All I need to do is be baptized. And so the baptism is the very simple part of it, just being immersed in water for the remission of sins. But what does it take to believe? And so if I've read the whole book in one sitting, I would have learned what it would have taken to be a believer. And so this morning, I want us to consider the book as a whole. As you go through the whole book, how is faith illustrated in the book of Mark? So when I get to the end of it, I know what it takes to be a believer. And I need someone to baptize me. I know what it takes to be a believer. How is faith illustrated in the book of Mark? That's what we want to consider this morning. And this is a two-part lesson. I would encourage you to come back this evening for the second part. We're going to look at different elements of faith. We're going to look at the different things that make up faith. What is faith? Well, it's illustrated in the book of Mark. Do you know there are many people out in the denominational world, many religious people, they often emphasize faith and exclude baptism. We need to have faith in Jesus, but they don't put any importance on baptism. On the other side of the extreme, or the other end of the spectrum, sometimes Christians, we, members of the church, will sometimes emphasize baptism, as we rightly should, because it's in Scripture. But sometimes I believe Christians don't really understand all that is included in the idea of faith or believing. And so you'll find that some who claim to be Christians, they'll later fall away. They'll become unfaithful. They don't understand what all is involved. Well, I've been baptized, so that's enough to go to heaven. Or if they don't fall away, there'll be some sort of a troublemaker in the church or something like that. They don't really understand what faith is. And so on the one end of the extreme, you have religious people who emphasize faith, but they exclude baptism. And then you might have on the other side of the extreme those who really emphasize baptism, but they don't really understand what faith is. Jesus said both, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. What does it mean to believe? I've just read the book as a whole. That's how it would have been done in the first century. I've read the whole book, and now I get down to the end. He that believeth. Well, I've just read the whole book. I know what it means to believe in Jesus. And that's what we're going to look at this morning. As you survey the Gospel of Mark, there's a good lesson here. It's a good lesson for both the religious denominational world and for members of the church. When you just read the whole book, the religious denominationalists will find that faith is more than just believing that Jesus is your personal Savior. It's more than just some mental thought. Faith is active obedience to God's will. But there's also a good lesson in here for us. And that is, faith is more than just some steps to the plan of salvation, or it's more than just going to church. Faith is an attitude of heart based upon God's Word. And it completely changes us, and it causes us to be sacrificial and truly serve the Lord. We're not just a bench warmer or a pew warmer. We really do have faith in Christ. And so this morning and this evening, I want to take a survey of the book of faith, in the book of Mark. So when you get to the end of the book, he that believeth, you really know what that means. You really know what is involved in that. And I'm not just simply talking about a person who needs to become a Christian. Do you know that Christians would have read the book of Mark in the first century? Christians. Well, they would have. What would they have gotten out of it? What would they have learned? What it means to have faith, even as a follower of Christ. When Jesus said then at the end of the book, he that believeth, what kind of person was he talking about? Well, if you've read the whole book in one sitting, you would have a good idea of the kind of person he was talking about. They didn't chop it up. They didn't read a few verses and then wait a week and read a few more verses. They would have read the whole book, and they would have known when Jesus said, he that believeth, they would have known what kind of person that was. Oh, yeah, that's the man who was let down through the roof. Oh, yeah, he that believeth, that's Jairus. He that believeth, oh yeah, that's the woman who came to be healed who had the issue of blood. He that believeth, oh yeah, that's the leper who wanted to be healed. See, he that believeth, that's what we're going to learn this morning. And so let us examine faith or belief as it is illustrated in the Gospel of Mark. And we'll find out what kind of a person really does believe. Are you a believer? Somebody says, well, of course, I don't have to be asked that question. Well, do we have all of the elements of faith that we really find in the Word of God? Any person, after reading the Gospel of Mark, can know who it is that really believeth. And when I was in Corpus Christi, we had some home Bible studies, and we were trying to bring non-Christians into our home. And I decided to go through the book of Mark, and from time to time we'd have individuals come who weren't Christians at all. They didn't know anything about God's Word, and just read the book of Mark. Just read through it so that they can learn what it means to be a believer. Someone who's just starting at ground zero. They just know nothing at all. They can learn what it means to be a believer. And so at the end of the book, he that believeth, oh, I know what that is. I know what I need to do to be that. And is baptized. That's easy. Shall be saved. And the two come together. What does it mean to be a believer? Well, let's begin and look at some elements of faith. We're going to look at four this morning, and Lord willing, we'll look at the rest of them this evening. Number one, faith is sacrificial. Turn with me to Mark chapter 1. And if you'll want to make some notes, we're just going to learn what it means to be a believer. And we're going to stay within the book of Mark in order to do that. Remember, Mark opens up with the beginning of the gospel. Here's the good news. And then it ends with, go preach the gospel. Go preach this good news that is contained in this book. He that believeth and is baptized. Well, he that believeth, who is that? Well, he that is sacrificial. We find in chapter 1 in verses 16 through 20. And passing along by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, the brother of John, casting a net in the sea, for they were fishers. And Jesus said, come after me, and I will make you fishers of men, and straightway or immediately they left their nets and followed him. They believed in Jesus. They gave up a good job. They left their families in order to follow Jesus. Their response was immediate. He that believeth. Well, who is that? He that is sacrificial. Are you willing to make a sacrifice? Am I willing to make a sacrifice in order to give up for Jesus? Let's look at another man. Turn with me to Mark chapter 2 when Jesus met this man named Levi. We also know him as Matthew. He writes the book of Matthew. Okay, he's a tax collector. The same thing. In Mark chapter 2, verse 13, and he went forth again by the seaside, and all the multitude resorted unto him, and he taught them. And as he passed by, he saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting at the place of toll, and he said unto him, follow me. And he arose and followed him. Obviously, Matthew believed Jesus. You're not going to follow someone you don't believe. He gave up a well-paying job. He was a tax collector. And like the fisherman, his response was to be immediate. He arose and followed him. No arguing, no excuse making, no delaying, no procrastination. Faith, number one, is sacrificial. He that believeth. Well, who is that? I need to sacrifice. When Jesus calls me, we sing in our songbook, Jesus calls us o'er the tumult. When Jesus calls me, I need to get up and go. That's he that believeth. There is a sacrificial element to faith, where I'm going to give up whatever it takes to come and follow Jesus. What about us today? Are we willing to give up that which keeps us from following Jesus? And are we willing to do that immediately? What would you have to give up? What would I have to give up in order to follow Jesus? That's he that believeth. Think about it in your life. I'll think about it in my life. The list is going to be different for different people. For some, it's an unscriptural marriage or divorce, and that is becoming more and more prevalent today. You'll have a Bible study with someone, and one of the first obstacles in the way is that they've already been on their third marriage. It's unscriptural. And they're not going to give that up in order to become a Christian. Something about their job, something about their family. It could be some carnal attitude, a worldly attitude like jealousy or hatred or envy, strife, anger. It could be sexual immorality. It could be drunkenness. There could be a whole list of things, but whatever it is, you're going to have to give that up to follow the Lord. Faith is sacrificial. He that believeth. Well, who is that? Well, I've just read this book of Mark, and I remember reading about some believers who followed Jesus and they gave up. I need to be like that. In fact, our whole being, Paul says in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, that God expects our whole life to be a living sacrifice. Present your bodies a living sacrifice. Our whole body is like being put up on the altar. He's using an Old Testament figure of an Old Testament sacrifice. We're not going to reserve a little bit for ourselves, or reserve a little bit for the devil or for the world. Our whole body is offered up as a living sacrifice. And that's why many will not become a member of the church, a Christian, because there's something that they're not willing to give up. Number one, belief or faith is sacrificial. In order to believe in Jesus, we're going to have to sacrifice and give up for Him and follow Him. And that's exactly what we find the rich young ruler is not willing to do. Turn with me to Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10 and verse 21. Go sell whatsoever you have and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. But his countenance fell at the saying, and he went away sorrowful, for he was one that had great possessions. I don't want to give up. And so he goes on to say how hard it is for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven. And Peter says in Mark 10:28, we have left all and have followed thee. And Jesus goes on to say that when you give up, verses 29, 30, and 31, when you give up things to follow me, you will have eternal life. But you got to give up to follow me. And so we find the rich young ruler didn't believe. He didn't want to be sacrificial. We get to the end of the book of Mark. He that believeth. Well, who is that? Well, number one, it's the person who's willing to sacrifice. And if we're not, then we can't be a true believer. If we are, then we can be a believer. Number two, who is he that believeth? Who is this person? Well, number one, he's the person who's willing to sacrifice. And number two, he's the person who's willing to recognize Jesus' power and authority. Turn with me to the leper of Mark chapter 1, verses 40 through 42. I'm willing to accept that Jesus is not just a man. He's not just a Jewish man like many people today say he is. And some, including some religions, he's just a Jewish man, no different than anybody else. No, I'm willing to recognize that Jesus is the divine Son of God, and he has the power and the authority to change me and heal me. In Mark chapter 1, verse 40, and there cometh to him a leper, beseeching him and kneeling down to him and saying, if thou wilt, thou can make me clean. Look at that. This man was sure that Jesus could do it. He just wasn't sure if he would do it. Notice that. Read that carefully. He knew that he could do it. He wasn't sure if he would do it. If thou wilt, you can make me clean. He knew that he could do it. He was just wondering if he would do it. And he found out that he would do it. And being moved with compassion, he stretched forth his hand and touched him and said, I will. Be thou made clean. And straightway the leprosy departed from him, and he was made clean. He believed that Jesus, if you can, if you will, you can do this. Turn with me to Mark chapter 5, verses 25 through 34. There was a woman that had this flow of blood. It wouldn't stop. She had it for many years, and she realized that the doctors could not heal her. She had spent her money on doctors who could not help her. She had this flow or issue of blood 12 years and had suffered many things, not one or two things, many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had and was nothing better. That would be frustrating. Go to the doctor. He can't help me. Go to another one. He can't help me. Go to another one. He can't help me. Spent this bill. Went to the pharmacy. Got that prescription. We're still not helped. Isn't that frustrating? Having heard the things concerning Jesus, came in the crowd and behind and touched him. For she said, look at this. If I touch but his garment, I shall be made whole. I know this one is different. If I just touch his garment, I know that it's going to be different. She knew something about him from what she had heard and witnessed before. And we find in verse 34, your faith hath made you whole. Faith, what kind? Faith that recognizes that Jesus is different, that he has the power and the authority to actually do what he says he'll do. And it's that kind of faith. So I've just read that story and I get to the end of the book of Mark. He that believeth and is baptized. I need to be like this woman. I need to be like the leper. I need to be like the four fishermen. I need to be like Matthew. I need to be like these individuals who are exercising their faith in Christ. Turn with me to chapter 7 and 8. What about the deaf man with a speech impediment in chapter 7 and verse 31? And again he went out into the borders of Tyre and came through Sidon to the Sea of Galilee. And they bring him one that was deaf, that had an impediment in his speech. And they beseeching him to lay his hand upon him. And he took him aside from the multitude privately and put his fingers into his ears. And he spat and touched his tongue. And looking up to heaven, he sighed and said, Ephrathah, that is, be opened. And his ears were open. What about the blind man in chapter 8 and verse 22? Turn with me there. Chapter 8 and verse 22. And there came unto he came to Bethsaida, and they bring to him a blind man and beseeching him. They brought a man with a deaf and an impediment of speech. They brought a blind man. These people know that Jesus has the power and the authority, and beseeching him to touch him. I know, Lord, you can do this for this deaf man or this blind man. These people had faith in Jesus. They saw him do it other places. These men and those who brought them were willing to let Jesus use his own methods to heal them, even though they were strange methods, you know, spitting and things like that, because they believed that Jesus had the power and the authority to do it. And that's what faith is, and faith has to have that element. Now, we're not coming to Jesus for physical healing. We're coming to Jesus for spiritual healing from our sins. And that is an ailment and a disease that is more terrible than any physical disease, the disease of sin. What about ourselves? Do we recognize the need for spiritual healing? And do we believe that Jesus can heal us of our sins because He has the power and the authority to do so? And are we willing to let Him use His methods on His terms? They didn't come to Jesus and say, "Will you heal the deaf man and the blind man, but we're going to tell you how to do that." No, they let Jesus do that in whatever method that was. We come to Jesus on His terms and His methods. And if He says we need to confess Him, we do it. If He says we need to repent and be baptized, we do it. If He says we need to live faithfully thereafter, we do that. Because He's the one in the driver's seat. Faith recognizes Jesus' power and authority to save. Are we willing to do that very thing? Faith is sacrificial. Number two, faith is recognizing Jesus' power and authority. And number three, faith has an element of being persistent. He that believeth and is baptized. Who is that? He that believeth. That's the sacrificial person. Not like the rich young ruler who didn't want to give up anything. Faith is understanding and accepting and recognizing Jesus' power and authority. And number three, he that believeth. Who is that? He that is persistent. That's what faith is, because faith has an element of persistence to it. Turn with me to Mark chapter 2, verses 1 through 5, the man who is let down through the roof. Mark chapter 2, verse 1, and when he entered again into Capernaum, after some days it was noised that he was in the house, and many were gathered together so that there was no longer room for them, no, not even about the door. And he spake the word unto them, and they came. And there came one bringing unto him a man sick of the palsy, born of four. And when they could not come near unto him for the crowd, they quit. Right? They went home. They just stopped and didn't do anything. Right? No, the text says they uncovered the roof. Wow. Right? They uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed whereon the sick of the palsy lay. Their persistence. Well, we can't get in, so we're going to go home. We're going to quit. No. He that believeth. Who is that? Someone who is persistent. And look at verse 5. Jesus seeing their faith. What did he see in them? He saw in them their persistence. Do we have that in our life? He overcame great obstacles in order to get to Jesus. So many today, it's almost as if they're looking for excuses not to obey. Well, there's hypocrites in the church. And I might have to do this, and I might have to do that. Be persistent to get to what you need to get to. Faith has an element of persistence to it. Turn with me to Mark chapter 7, and let's look at another example of this. The Syrophoenician woman, she was from an area of Syria, Phoenicia, up in the northern part of Palestine, so she's called the Syrophoenician woman. She uses persistence, and at the end of the story, the text says, "Your faith hath made you whole." What is faith? Faith is persistence, in addition to these other things that we're talking about. Mark chapter 7, verse 24, it's also found in the parallel account of Matthew 15, 21. And from there he arose and went away into the borders of Tyre and Sidon, and he entered into a house, and he would have no man know it, and he could not be hid. But straightway a woman, whose little daughter had an unclean spirit, having heard of him, came and fell down at his feet. Now the woman was a Greek, a Gentile, a Syrophoenician by race, and she besought him that he would cast forth the demon out of her daughter. And he said unto her, "Let the children first be filled, for it is not meet to take of the children's bread and cast it to the dogs." But she answered and saith unto him, "Yea, Lord, even the dogs under the table eat of the children's crumbs." And he said unto her, "For this saying, go thy way, the demon is gone forth out of thy daughter. And she went away unto her house and found the child laid upon the bed, and the demon were gone out. For this saying, turn with me to Matthew chapter 15 and verse 28. We will go outside of the book of Mark just briefly here. Matthew chapter 15 and verse 28. Great is thy faith, Jesus said. Well, what is faith? Persistence. She overcame at least five obstacles that I know of. I think of a hurdle race, 100-meter hurdles. And you set up these tall hurdles every few feet and you have to jump over them to get to the finish line. That's what I think of here. And there's five on her race course. Five. And she jumps over all of them and gets to Jesus and gets what she needs. And we need to be like that. What are the five? Number one, her nationality. She was a Syrophoenician. She was a Greek. Jesus was a Jew. And many Jews in her day didn't want to have anything to do with Greeks. So you stay separate of each other. But she didn't care about that. I'm a Greek, but I'm going to come to a Jew. I need some help. Number two, Jesus' initial silence. If you look at Matthew's account, he didn't say anything when she came. He didn't respond to her. But she kept at it. Number three, when you look at Matthew's account, the apostles say, send her away. She doesn't care about that. She sticks with it. Number four, Jesus' statement about his mission. That is found in Matthew's account where he came to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. I've come to my people first. Well, when she hears the lost sheep of the house of Israel, well, I'm not of the house of Israel, but I'm still going to get what I need. And then last of all, Jesus' statement about the dogs. And she says, well, even the dogs get some crumbs. I get something, right, Lord? We give up too quickly today. We just give up. Well, you know, coming to church services, that's too hard. Obeying the gospel, that's too hard. Really? We just give up? Just don't want to do anything if it has a little work to it? He that believeth, who is that? It's the person who's willing to be persistent. Remember, if you've read or heard the book of Mark in the first century, what would it take? Maybe an hour to read that? How long would that take? And you just get through reading these stories. And Jesus said, he that believeth. Oh yeah, that's the woman whom Jesus said, you know, great is thy faith. And she showed faith there. And at this word, I will do what you say. She's a persistent woman, and I'm thinking about these people who did anything they could to get to. And I just read about that man who, those guys, they broke that roof open and got down in there. Wow. And Jesus said, seeing their faith, I need to be like that. You see how that works? I've just read about these people. I've just learned what it means to believe. And so, another element is that faith is persistent. Turn with me to blind Bartimaeus in Mark chapter 10. I love this guy. He's not going to let people in the crowd dissuade him. He doesn't listen to what people say. I'm just going to get to Jesus. In Mark chapter 10, in verse 46, and they come to Jericho, and as he went out from Jericho with his disciples and a great multitude, the son of Timaeus, Bartimaeus, Bar meaning son of Timaeus, a blind beggar was sitting by the way. And when he heard that it was Jesus the Nazarene, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many rebuked him. Hush, be quiet. We don't want to hear you. Many rebuked him that he should hold his peace, but he cried out the more a great deal. Thou son of David, have mercy on him. Of course, Jesus says, call him, and he heals him. Look at verse 52. Thy faith hath made thee whole. What kind of faith? Faith that is persistent. And that's the way we need to be. He wanted to get to Jesus, and he wasn't going to let people hush him and shush him. I've got to get to Jesus. We need to be like that. We've lost a lot of that, I fear, today. Today it's, yeah, I'll get to Jesus if it's 100% easy and, you know, convenient to do it. I don't want any hurdles. I just want ease. No, Jesus is looking for those who are persistent, he that believeth and is baptized. So what about us today? Do we allow obstacles, small or great, to stand in our way so that we cannot get to Jesus and serve him and obey him? Excuses. Oh, I have to be baptized. I'll have to worship each first day of the week. I don't know if I can pull myself away from my TV and air conditioning to do that. Oh, I don't know if I can do that. I don't know if I can pull myself away from the golf course and the lake. I don't know. That'd be too hard for me. And I've got to come, and y'all don't have an instrument there. And I know that there weren't any instruments in the first century, and we don't read about that in the New Testament church, but I want my instruments, and I don't know if I could come there. Or something in their marriage, or an unscriptural divorce, as we talked about earlier. Or I would come down there, but there's hypocrites in the church, etc., etc., etc. I've got to get up. Well, do you get up for anything else? Did you ever get up for work in life or anything else? Well, I got to get up and whatever. Faith is persistence and the will to remain faithful. I don't know if I can make it all the way through. We're reading about people who made it all the way through. You can do it. I can do it. And so faith is persistent. And then last of all, and we'll look at the rest this evening, there's a fourth element of faith that we find in the book of Mark, and that is being active. I want to look at one other thing on this matter of persistence. You know, electricity and rivers, they always look for the easiest route to run. Why are some rivers just really crooked? Water flows down in a little area, and it hits a spot, and it's got to go somewhere. So it goes the easiest way it can go. It always chooses the least path of resistance. That's why we find rivers that are winding, the Mississippi, the Ohio. It flows, hits something, goes over here where it's easy to go, and then it goes back. Okay? Electricity is like that. Now, electricity actually will take any path that you give it. But when it's given a path of more resistance or least resistance, more electricity will always flow in the path of least resistance. Are we like that? Well, I'll do something if it's easy. The difference between us is that electricity and rivers are not going to stand before God in the judgment day. We will. We do have to give an account. And so we don't need to be looking for the path of least resistance. We need to be looking for the path of greatest persistence. And there's going to be some work. That's why the rich young ruler didn't want to come follow Jesus. I've got to give up some stuff. It's going to involve some commitment. And some people are fearful of commitment. They're fearful of putting their all into it. I'll give you a little bit, but I'm going to hold. No, put all of it in there. Put all of it in there. We're all in. And then last of all, for this morning, there's more things this evening, but for this morning, faith number four is active. It's not just, I accept Jesus as my personal Savior and bam, at that moment I'm saved. I haven't done a thing. No, faith is active. And that's what we learn from that story that we already noticed in Mark chapter 2. Seeing their faith. Jesus saw people come to Him. He saw the great work that it took to get there, the persistence, the sacrifice, the commitment, and seeing their faith. If you have not been obedient in action, your faith has not been seen. It has to be seen. Faith is active. We actually have to come and do something in order to be a Christian. In John chapter 6 and verse 44, those who hear, come to me. Peter preaches to the household of Cornelius in Acts chapter 10 and verse 35, he that worketh righteousness. There's something that we must work, something that we must do. In the book of Acts, people ask, what must I do to be saved? Because there were things to do. Faith is always active. And turn with me to James chapter 2, James is not a chapter about non-Christians, although sometimes we use it that way. It's a chapter about Christians who are supposed to be active in their faith. We don't just say things, we get up and do it. And so in James chapter 2, verse 14, "What doth it profit, my brethren, if a man say he hath faith, but hath not works? Can that faith save him?" The answer is no. It's faith and works. Verse 24, "You see that by works a man," and in this context a Christian who is supposed to remain active, "a man is justified, and not only by faith." It's not just something we say, not just something we think. We get up and we show it and we work it. Faith is active. So many times today we hear, well, just accept Jesus as your personal Savior. And boom, at that moment you're saved. No one was ever told that in the Scripture. It is always a faith that can be seen and that is active, both for becoming a Christian and remaining faithful as a child of God. Well, the lesson is yours. He that believeth. I've just read the book of Mark. It doesn't take that long to read. I get down to the end. "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." I need to have these elements in my life. Number one, I need to be a person that is willing to sacrifice. Number two, I need to be a person who is willing to recognize Jesus' power and authority. Number three, I need to be persistent. And number four, I need to be active. That's he that believeth. And I'm now ready to do that, and I want to get up and do that. If we can assist you in doing that this morning, it's just a matter of being baptized then, right? Being immersed in water for the remission of your sins. And we can easily do that. See, once you know what faith really is, then he that believeth, well, that's easy to understand. It's all of these men and women throughout the book who show these characteristics of faith that Jesus wants. But even as a Christian, brethren, those of us who have been baptized sometime in the past, we need to remember to keep being active, keep being persistent, keep recognizing Jesus' power and authority, keep being sacrificial so that we can be that faithful Christian that we need to be. If you're subject to the invitation, if we can help you to believe and be baptized, why won't you come as we stand and as we sing?